percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious.
My gosh, I can't believe it. We're what, December already? Santa and the whole nine yards? Man, it's like it's gone by so fast. But that's okay, because we're saving the best for last. Getting ready for the new year, okay, and hoping for something like a miracle, like a really cool miracle. Not this comet thing they're talking about. Did you see the thing about the killer comet? Fortunately, there is a group out there on the job. Well, maybe I'll save that for a minute or two. Ground-level events detected by South Pole Neutron Monitor, source unknown. They have been monitoring this for some, you know, just to see if what's going on. Super wave cosmic ray. It's like huge. There's too much science in this for me to give you real details, okay? So I'm going to put it on wendyscoffeehouse.com. That's where you're going to have to go. But they found this one. And it was about the same time the December 2004 earthquake and gamma ray burst. Okay, so it produced all sorts of effects with that. They call them EMP effects. And this is seismic and stuff. It shifts the tectonic plates, the whole nine yards. So they thought that if this if it's happening again, which they're now predicting that this may be coming around again, thinking that it might arrive around December 26, according to several reports. And I'm trying to see, this is UFO sightings hotspot. Okay, so of course they are a bastion of believable and legit news. Just so you know, got it? All right, we want to separate the real from the fake. So that's where we're going to source it. However, this other stuff that they've got in terms of the stats, that's coming from another. The Galactic Superwave Outburst Alert. I love this stuff. The internet is like, wow, it's candy. It's candy. All right, so anyway. Look out, because they're saying December 26th. That's a good thing, because Santa will already have made the deliveries, okay? Nothing will get in the way. And the other thing about the Santa deal, they have finally figured out, you know, it's always been a mystery. How did he get down every single chimney, and what happens when there are no chimneys? Well, we're not going there, but we are going to the chimney thing. And they have figured it out. Somebody who's a Harry Potter fan says, well, this is like totally a no-brainer. Mischief managed. Got it. It's that... the flu powder, whatever it is. It's, you know, the dust. He just gets in there and goes poof from chimney to chimney. I don't know what the reindeer do. Just they go in advance. Anyway, I thought that was great. So if you want to check that out, it's on Reddit. There's a full thread. And then you have to be like in the club to be able to get in. You have to join one of the houses to be able to find the real details of this. I thought, whoa, that's even better. Redditor Arumple said that St. Nick uses flu powder. So there you go. We've solved that report. So I feel better already. In the news recently, I loved one of these jobs. You know, you never know. They don't post these kind of jobs. Some people just fall into them. And one of the best jobs, I think, of the world is guarding John Lennon's glasses. It's in Cuba. Apparently, she is paid to make sure that the statue always has a pair of glasses on when tourists come to take a picture. All right, because it would be really a spoiler to go all that way and have John not totally prepared for your visit. So John, he's been sitting there. He's a huge tourist attraction, but a target because, you know, somebody wants the glasses. It's always what you don't have that you really want. So it got old fast, and they stepped in the guardian of the glasses job. And 2 years ago, seeing that they went missing, she put her own glasses on the statue, and they finally figured out that, you know what, it's probably worth it to us that she is there on the job. This is, again, I'll link that to Wendy's Coffee House. Missouri, we had a UFO sighting, a fluid sighting, and they were watching the sky with a friend at a motel. Apparently that was, you know, something going on that night, November 4th, and they saw it. It was very dark outside, pitch black. And there wasn't enough light to really show things up, but they saw something moving about 100 feet away, and they've got pictures here and diagrams, which is always helpful. I know when I had my sighting, the diagrams and pictures, you just felt like, oh, well, that's all I've got, okay? It happened so fast. They were sky watching and they saw this object and they said that it was hard to describe it, but it had a ribbon. It was fluid. It was reflective. Okay, now I can. Yeah, it's like something is there, but it isn't. And if you have ever seen the movie The Abyss, where this thing takes form and all of a sudden it has a shape, that's the fluid kind of thing that you can see with some of these things. And, you know, they put into paranormal. But that was, I thought, oh, cool, Missouri is on the map again. Didn't see if there was a flap going on, but, you know, that would be good. My guest, Beyond Zebra. Why we're getting to some of this. I like to bring people who have all sorts of really cool views. Spirkonomics is her newest, but Beyond Zebra is Marcia Schaefer's home base on the internet. And she has been doing, since she was a kid, she's been researching and finding out how we're going to go into the next millennium, at least the next decade, if we have to start dealing, as opposed to being just planet Earth, but one of many planets. And so Intergalactic Anthropologist, that's the first book, Confessions of an Intergalactic Anthropologist. I'm trying to say it slow so I don't totally train wreck it. Because okay, now, going back, what was the story I was going to do when I started out here? I was starting out with a whole different, I didn't want to go to it too fast, but one of the fun things that's out there right now, if you're looking for Christmas gifts and gadgets and things like that, is if you can get the VR stuff, anybody who has virtual reality stuff, and there's a whole lot of stuff on the internet. One I like is just, it doesn't cost any money because you can go do this and just set up in front of your computer, catch a wave with Ricochet, the surfing therapy dog. Ricochet's had many incarnations, but right now Ricochet is the surfing therapy dog, all right? And there you go. That'll give you a nice little Christmas bonus. And by that, that one little thing here.
Good news. You made it on my nice list. And I have very high standards.
Okay, so there you go. That's as much as we can do for Christmas, for the happy fun stuff that's going on. I remember the killer comets is what I was going to get into. There's a group. This is a whole club. They are looking for killer comets, all right? And if you want to find out more about that, Indiegogo, this is a fun club to get into. That would be a little, you know, happy new discovery for 2017 to find a comet headed our way that we can't escape from. It's happening. It's coming. That's what they're telling us. And we need to be prepared because NASA says we're totally, totally unprepared, just like the dinosaurs. Up next, my guest, Marcia Schaefer, Wendy's Coffee House. I love it. Yeah, it's that time of year. We're kind of, you know, doing all the preparations and rethinking what went well and didn't for the last year and what might be coming for the next year. And we are living in some incredibly amazing times. When you're talking about being able to go to the moon, a vacation to the moon in 2026 for $10,000, it just came up today. Marcia is prepared to take us into the next millennium, okay? And don't have to do anything. She's already wired and ready to go. Background in science, business, and medicine, and a little bit of metaphysics. And I've been promoting all week saying that you grew up knowing about ETs from the time you were in the crib. That is an extraordinary background.
Thank you. Yeah, I've walked both sides of the consciousness highway my whole lifetime. And I've gone through a traditional life of meeting the expectations that anybody in modern society would. But at the same time, Wendy, I've also had these experiences that have reshaped how I look at life and what its meaning is, what we go through in everyday reality and what might be on the other side of that curtain that we can't see. And the extraterrestrial experiences were a significant part of that that helped me take a very different look into things. So today I work with people, and as I work with them, I share some of those insights because the whole point is about getting us to think differently with new vision, so that we can hopefully continue to evolve into a more enlightened species.
When I first connected with you, you had the book out, The Confessions of an Intergalactic Anthropologist. And I think that, I mean, the title alone is like, whoa, what? That is impressive, okay?
The title actually was suggested to me by those who visit with me, and, you know, extraterrestrials are not somebody I would normally take business advice from because it sounded like a cross between a Harlequin romance and a Star Trek episode, but it actually turned out, as long as it is, it actually turned out to be a very apt title, and it came from where that's one of the things they had told me on a soul purpose, what my life was about, was similar to being an intergalactic anthropologist, as I learned not only about other species and their existences and realities, it helps me have a much greater understanding and empathy for the human condition. So, you know, that's what that book was about. And then years later, it moved from being my understanding about reality, our relationship to the natural order of the world, higher cosmic principles, to understanding social order and how populations can move forward on a planet to progress and advance and build into an enlightened society. And that's what the second level of information was, where I didn't even realize that all the experiences I'd had since I was a child and born in the crib and all the visits were preparing me for that, really the second stage of human evolution and moving the population forward. And that comes forward under the Spurkonomics book that I just released. But all that information is really available to just to help us to become better thinkers about what the world is about and to look at things differently. Today we're in a position where we have so much information, and science has moved forward so rapidly in the past few decades that we now have the ability to look at things with new eyes. You know, when I first started talking about this, I had a lifetime of experiences, but I didn't really start talking publicly till the late 90s when I was really pushed to do so. And it was hesitant. And people were interested, but we also didn't have the information that we have now. We didn't have the advanced technology that we have now. And so I had to make a lot of comparisons against things that we didn't yet have in our society. Today it's much easier, where we've got the internet, we have telecommunications, we have invisible Wi-Fi fields all around us. So there's a lot of tools that are available to me as a communicator between worlds and existences to be able to help people to understand concepts. And as a result of that, because we have advanced so much as a society technologically, that people are much more able to grasp ideas that were once a little bit way too far out for them, and also to consider the reality of things such as extraterrestrial existence much more deeply, and it becomes more real to them in times before when they could not make that same leap. So this is an extraordinary time that we have before us just because of the nature of the world in which we live. Right now, most people are focused on chaos, change, violence, all the tumultuous things that are happening around us, the politics in the United States and elsewhere. But if we look at it in terms of what we're achieving instead of what we're dismantling or what's falling down or what's not working or the hate and violence between people, there's a new shift to looking at where the human is going if we can keep our eyes on the ball. And that, I think, is part of the secret, is everybody has to keep their eyes on the ball and not be distracted by all the chaos that's going on around us. These things are important. You know, the political issues are important, very important. Everything is out there to cry out for us to pay attention to it, but we're not always paying attention to the really important things that matter. And those important things that matter have to do with understanding reality, creating the future instead of just accepting the one that's been handed off to us, important things that leave mankind and lead mankind into becoming a very empowered, self-directing species who works for the betterment of the entire population.
Well, just to think how far we've come in our lifetime. I mean, I remember watching and being aware of how important it was with the first man to walk on the moon, Neil Armstrong, and he recently died. And so it's like, whoa, an end of an era, an end of basically a there was a huge paradigm shift from that, just being stuck to seeing somebody out there and then realizing we are going out there with the Internet Space Station that we've had wonderful pictures from, and now just recently announced we'll be able to take a vacation. Now, of course, they might change the date a little bit, but by 2026, this company's advertising it'll be a $10,000 package to take a vacation on the moon. Wow, from in our lifetime that has...
Well, you know, you just brought up a very interesting twist. Back, I think it was in the early 90s, it was pointed out to me that the extraterrestrial reality issue would come about not because of the population demanding it, not because of a government proclamation, but that I was to get ready for the commercialization of space. And the commercialization of space, which back then, you know, was what? You know, yeah. Only NASA, you know, governments do this. The commercialization of space would change the entire equation because you can't go out into space without finding out not what's out there, but who's out there. And as a result, as they pursued these commercial and capitalistic ventures, they would have to prepare the population to deal with meeting the relatives, as I affectionately call it. And so, you know, what you're referring to is looking at how we're moving the needle in a way where this is going to have to be ushered into society. So all the people who have, you know, conferences and the rallies, you know, that's wonderful for sharing information amongst a certain niche population. But in terms of the general public, the probable tendency is going to be just what you referenced. The coming commercialization of space is going to usher in the extraterrestrial reality. And with it is going to bring so many peripheral aspects of what we need to know, you know, what's real information, what's fed information. It's going to change our lives in such dramatic ways. And this also brings in a very important another side of the equation that's been happening over the past few decades to mankind. As you've looked at advancing technology and the ushering in of artificial intelligence and sophisticated electronics, what that has been doing is getting mankind ready in a new way for not just the artificial intelligence advent, for extraterrestrial reality. Because artificial intelligence, from what I've learned in my experience with face-to-face contact, is a part of some of these civilizations and cultures. And so it's going to bring us to a whole new world, and it's also going to get us to look in a new way at what is consciousness and who are we. So, you know, this is such a huge pot of information that is about to come upon us that we're slowly walking into. But as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, intriguingly, our attentions are being put into some what I call wildfires, you know, political types of wildfires in terms of what is happening and what people are concentrating on and the divisions between people instead of looking at the commonalities and the union between us.
Okay. The book that you're dealing with right now is Spearconomics, How to Snatch Back the Future and How a Hidden Demographic Will Shape and Change the Emerging World. We want to get into that in the next break, but okay, I'm sorry, but you keep saying things about, you know, these other entities that you're dealing with, and we haven't gone there yet. So if we could just kind of backtrack a little bit as we kick off the next break to find out more about these other intelligences that you are alluding to, because that's where the meat is, all right? It's just people
Excellent.
Are so
we'll
curious. Okay, good. That's the curiosity factor. And then beyond that, all right, once we've identified a few, how do we get along and how do we maybe clean up our act so that we can focus more on that and less on who's changing their coffee cup this week and why it's not okay.
Happy to provide the information.
Okay. All right. So we're talking with Marcia Schaefer. You want to check it out online. Go to beyondzero.com. And then she's got the other one, Spearconomics. You can check that one out too. But in the meantime, though, it's just a fascinating thing to contemplate right now. We're in the middle of an incredible, incredible shift, jump, leap into our future. Hang on for the ride. It's just starting to get interesting. Wendy'sCoffeeHouse.com. More coming up. Wendy's Coffee House. Just talking about the future, contemplating where we might be going, what's possible. And any time of the year, it's nice to talk about that. But we're making this huge transition right now, so it's extremely timely. Talking with Marcia Schaefer, you can check out her BeyondZebra.com and Spirconomics websites, Spirconomics.com. How to Snatch Back the Future is the new one. The Confessions of an... intergalactic anthropology.
Yeah. Confessions of an intergalactic anthropologist.
Thank you. I don't read it. It goes up there and goes into the wrong file and comes out incredibly mangled. What I also wanted to say, though, the guy who was the first astronaut, I believe, for China back in 2003, he was out for 21 hours and said he heard noises while he was in space. It was like a knocking. He said it was like the sound of a hammer hitting an iron bucket, and it really was unnerving for him. And there's still no explanation for what that might have been. I wondered if you had a take on that.
Well, we tend to expect things that we know here on Earth in our ordinary life when we look at space and extraterrestrial reality, and it's a whole new set of rules out there. As far as his specific situation, one thing that we tend to forget is that there is a different level of sound out there, that even the planets make noises and sounds. So it may not have been an extraterrestrial activity in terms of a sentient species. Mm-hmm. It may just have been some of the natural sounds of space,
like
which
a
are
pinging.
Almost hauntingly eerie.
Yeah, to me it sounded like a pinging of some kind. But I thought, well, isn't that cool? Because he's, you know, it's still unanswered. Now, with your stuff, when you're talking about describing the AI aspect of this extraterrestrial, what was that like, or what is it like?
Well, there's many different types of life forms out there. You know, when we look at Earth, all we have to do is look at, you know, mammalian species, the species on the insects, the, you know, ocean life forms, and you can see how there's just an infinite amount. So take that out into the cosmos, which is not confined by space, and there's ones that we tend to commonly talk about in terms of life forms, but there's so much more than that. And we have to always realize we're only just talking about a very small piece of what is out there. As far as the AI aspect, in some of the circumstances that I've experienced, there were artificial intelligence in terms of what we would refer to as very advanced androids involved in the setting that I was in. And so that was an eye-opener for me, particularly in a very pivotal visit that I had in the late 1990s, where it turned my life around, and they were telling me that, you know, it was my responsibility to write the book, to go public with this. I'm going, no. There was a lot of information that was handed to me at that time about the potential future of the planet, things we'd be walking into. And at the time this was going on, that was one of the very first times that I realized that this was what we would call a synthetic intelligence next to some of the alien life forms that are out there. Now, when it comes to the alien life forms, because you've asked me to talk about that, there's a couple of really important things to remember before we go into the details. One, a lot of the information that we have is defined by channeling or people who've been very confused by experiences and very scared and just reporting back. There's a whole bunch of information about that, and what we tend to do is we tend to make it our diary of reality without questioning it or realize that it can be tainted by individual perspectives. So when we talk about different races and forms that are out there, I'm going to tend to use some of the nomenclature that people use, but I've been told that these names are just for our convenience and really have no meaning whatsoever. There are ones, and I have experienced many different types of species, from humanoid types of ones and classic, what we would tend to call the grays, to reptilian forms of life, that I don't even know what to compare them to. And then there's a separate division that goes beyond that, where it's more of a consciousness that doesn't need a body anymore. It's a very, very advanced type of being. People tend to have all kinds of names for them, you know, Ancient Masters or whatever, but I don't know what it is, but they're very different. When I have an encounter with an extraterrestrial being who's in a body, it's more experiential that I go through certain situations with them. But when I have an encounter with what I've termed a multidimensional, it doesn't even need that. It's more of a spiritual experience where I'm getting a lot of very spiritual information and learning about how to be a better being. And the feeling is different, too. When I'm in the presence of an extraterrestrial, I can feel the dimensions warp. I can feel my consciousness shifting and changing, going into a slightly altered state, working very hard to keep my sentient consciousness up so I have that awareness with me. But when I'm in the presence of a multidimensional, it is so peaceful and loving and relaxed. It's a very different type of thing. So at this point in my life, I tend to aim for the multidimensionals. But going back to the extraterrestrials, because that's what everybody likes to know.
Oh, yeah.
So you said there are some ones that are advanced humans that have indicated that we have a very strong genetic tie to them, that they're almost like a more advanced form of us. Now, people tend to refer to these in contemporary books and writings as Pleiadians. But there's several that have somewhat humanoid types of appearances that are more advanced than us, much more advanced scientifically, technologically. The ones that are of interest to me are these ones that have reptilian features, because contemporary New Age metaphysical literature tends to paint them as villains, and I've never experienced anything like that whatsoever. I've experienced them as being a very advanced civilization, where they're very strategic as to looking at their future, as to looking at the next generation coming up and taking care of their young and making sure that they're good citizens and that everybody's involved with the rearing of the next generation. And so they're really looking towards strategic future on their existence or planet in terms of, you know, are we going to be able to go successfully into the future? And everybody works together in a different way that you don't have it on Earth, on this planet here.
Oh, okay. And we're going to have to take a break. I want to get back to that. So from how do we get from here to there to being eligible and considered worthy enough to make that transition without destroying everybody else in our wake? So let's pick up when we come back.
Okay.
Again, Marcia Schaefer, Beyond Zebra, is the one to catch her at. And you can, if you miss any of this, check out wendyscoffeehouse.com. That's where the downloads are. And, you know, if we skip over something, of course, you can also contact Marcia direct. But we're going to come back more Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, talking with Marcia Schaefer about becoming, hopefully, very decent galactic citizens. We're doing our homework. We're planning ahead. It's not if, it's when. And she's got some fantastic background to help get us up to speed on this. You can check out the website. Marcia Schaefer has both of them at beyondzebra.com or spirkonomics.com. And just to give you an idea, she also does consultations, getting you prepared for this. And some of the things that she recommends that you become a little bit more familiar with, I like it. Spirit life, alien reality, pet communication, and business pioneering. And you wouldn't think those are related, but when you sit back and do the math, oh, wow, yeah, it won't be guarding John Lennon's glasses. I mentioned that earlier. Anyway, so when you're getting into this stuff that we were talking about in the next break, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you, but go ahead and resume because it was getting interesting.
I'm trying to pick up my place again after the break. I think I was talking about the different species that were out there, and
the
one
reptilians.
Of the things I found in the reality of my experiences, such as the reptilian experiences that don't match what's out there that people are often talking about, brings to point something really important I need to address, is that don't believe everything that you see and you hear. I have gone through my own personal experiences, and that's what I rely on. And while there isn't a lot of information for the average person to judge, just keep an eye open and say maybe. Don't say it has to be absolute because this person is talking to you. You know, let's wait till see what the future brings in, because there's so many different races that are out there. And people always have stories of they're good, they're bad, they're evil, they're spiritual. You know, sometimes we're just going to have to wait to find out some of this stuff. The interesting thing is when you have your own personal experience, should it ever happen to you, to help you make some of those decisions, it's really important to try to keep a portion of your mind open and awake and your consciousness very clear, because you tend to just go into this state of being where you're in such awe of everything that's happening that you're not thinking very much about things that you would think about normally, such as during, you know, where we're at today in our everyday conversation would think to question or happen. You're just sitting there kind of like, wow.
Yeah, in a big fuzz, like, wow, this is just
yeah, and it seems
numb.
Like when they contact, at least for me, my consciousness, my state of consciousness changes quite a bit. And I go into a different state of knowing and understanding. And that's where I made reference to. It's really important. I've learned over the years how to trigger my intellectual awareness instead of my just soft fugue consciousness so that I can combine both. And when I was able to become a more interactive, calm participant and bring up certain things and question things, not believe everything that they told me. Mm-hmm. This is a very interesting twist. That's when my information went to a whole new level. It was as if they saw that I wouldn't be conned by the usual set of information uh-huh. that they give people. And I began to get some very profound teachings and information about the state of the universe, evolution, human awareness, you know, all kinds of things. It was like I went into an advanced teaching stage by showing that I was worthy or capable of getting the information. Because oftentimes what happens to people when they have an experience and they engage in a communication, they're told, you're an ambassador, oh, you're so important, and a lot of garbage like that, where, you know, it's playing to the human emotion. If there's one thing an extraterrestrial knows is how do you get someone to do something, you tell them that they're special and you feed their ego. You know, it's
Works.
I affectionately call it a cosmic hazing.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you can step out of that, because they would ask me to, you know, oh, you want to share this information, like hell, pardon my language.
Yeah, right,
you know,
right.
Like heck. You know?
Uh-huh.
I'm not going for it. I'm not saying this. And how do I know it's true? And how do I know it's going to really happen?
Right.
And so what was really left impressed upon me is how mutable our future is, and that we have the ability to shape the future. And it's impacted by our awareness, our actions, our thoughts, and a lot of things that during everyday reality we don't often consider. And so that left me so impressed by the fact of we really are responsible for the future that we create, and we have to come to an awareness of that and take responsibility for our lives. Because what happens now is we are being led to follow a life that's being scripted for us by others who are out there, by not taking an emancipated stance and saying, you know, this is what we should have, this is what we should know, we have the capacity to go in a different direction. So the fact that the future changes and is not definite is really important in understanding that, you know, we can build the world that we want to build, but keeping that information hidden from us prevents us from having that full power.
But do you think more of that is changing right now? I mean, the more information is coming forward.
No, and here's why, and I think it's probably surprising for you to hear me say that because you'd think me going, oh, yeah. No, because so much of the information is manipulated and tainted and preying to the emotion in the human. I've had an amazing education, not as much about extraterrestrial reality, but about humanity, about Homo sapiens, about human behavior. And the human experience is really driven by the emotional positioning that we have, by our responses from a stance of emotion. We can shift out of that as we become more self-aware, but the majority of us are driven by that. And so if we find information that matches our inclinations, that matches our thoughts, or matches our emotional reactions, we tend to glom onto that. We tend to say, see, yes, I was right. I knew this all along, and this makes me feel stronger because this information supports my point of view.
Ego.
And ego, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what we have to do is enhance our perspectives and open up and release the emotional fixation we have on certain positionings and belief systems. So, you know, we have so much opportunity in front of us, but the information, to me, what I've learned, what I've been requested to do is to help humans understand they have to become emancipated thinkers. And that means getting us up to a level where wisdom kicks in, where it's not just information that matches my belief systems, that matches my positioning, whether it's religious, spiritual, political. It's an ability to look at information and parse it and take it in and see where it belongs and see whether it really does have relevance or it should be in my stream of reality. But we're so susceptible to false information that you've seen even the media, who is accused of giving false information, is having a big whoop-de-doo about false information.
Oh, it's, this is, right now, it's just a big game. It's in all across the board, and it's just a challenge to figure out where the legit information comes from and what you pay attention to. In the meantime, you've got all the gossip mixed in with that, and it's really, it's almost a giant joke.
It's a free-for-all out there, and that's why this is about the opportunity for man to become an emancipated thinker and to stop and think and not react so quickly.
Okay, well, the thing is, how do you know it's wisdom? What is the parameter for that? And I've only got like 2 minutes, but...
All right, you know, for me, wisdom is something that comes wrapped up along tolerance and kindness. You know, wisdom is something that helps you make better decisions and think smarter and think wiser and also opens up us to the path of higher consciousness. You know, one of the things that I've learned is nothing ever stops in a box, that there's always another layer to be able to see things, and you see it differently. I'll learn something that years later I'll look at it and I'll have new information and say, I thought I knew the answer to that, but now I can see it from a whole new vision. So extraterrestrial reality has brought me a lot of personal wisdom where I no longer react rashly to things and make fast conclusions, and I know I always have to wait and see what's the real outcome behind this. But as we go out into space with the commercialization, there's so much opportunity, and man has got to get ready for being able to decide who's telling the truth, what's going to be in the best decision making, what is going to be the best decisions for us, and what's in our best interest. Who do I believe? Do I believe the government? Do I believe an extraterrestrial voice? Often your own inner voice, once you get yourself into a spiritual connection, is the most powerful barometer of truth.
I agree. Yeah, it's that thing of you have your own, your body, your sense of being, of self, and if it feels funky or right or not right, then that's a caution. We got to go. This has been fun. We only touched the tip of the iceberg, and maybe in 2017 we can touch base, reconnect, and find out how things are going, but I got to let you go.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me, and delighted to talk to you anytime once more.
Thank you. All right, check out the website. You've got two of them to go to, Marcia Schaefer, Beyond Zebra, and this stuff is fascinating, and right now is a time to get your stuff together and start thinking about the future. It's happening, and we're right here, and there's so much potential, so much opportunity. Check out wendyscoffeehouse.com, the blog. I'll update you. We've got new stuff coming down the pike and possibly a time shift, maybe. Is that a tease? You betcha. Have you been good? I think you have.
Good news. You made it on my nice list.
Stay positive and stay curious. Wendy's Coffee House.